Okay. Kufkov test. Shira Malas Rabbi Zaruni. There are so much distress that I've had me write from my youth. Yomer Na Yisrael says all of Bnei Yisrael. So the idea is that no matter how much sar you're in, no matter how much pain you go through, we're never going to lose distress. We're never going to lose hope. That's the idea behind it. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has performed miracles before. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help us in the future. We're not going to worry about anything whatsoever. We know that there are many miracles that have happened in the past. We're hoping that that will happen again. And so too, he says, Rabbi Saruni, although there's a lot of distress, Minurai, Gam Lo Yachuli. They are not going to prevail against me. I've had this in Mitzrayim. I've had this throughout my Golos. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to let it overcome me. Al Gabi Horshu Horshim. The plowers plowed against my back. Harichu L'manosim. They made their furrows very long. What was happening? The Medrash says, when the Mitzrayim were chasing after the Jews to take their Jewish kids and babies and throw them into the river, they were put on the ground by the mothers, and the ground swallowed them up. While they were in the ground, right, they were having these two rocks. One rock gave them honey, the other one gave them milk, whatever it is, right, and they survived in there. And they popped out of the ground later, and that's what it says, v'yidgu l'rov b'karav ha'aretz, that they grew many b'karav ha'aretz in the midst of the land. So this is the line where they darshan it all from. They used to, because they saw the kids get swallowed up in the ground, they took plowing blades with huge oxen, and they plowed the ground to look for the kids. They couldn't find the kids, they never got to the kids, because they were eating milk and honey rocks, right, as they were going through. It never happened, but that's what it comes from over here. So obviously the reference is that they plowed against me, meaning they damaged me, they hurt me, whatever it is as time goes on, but this is the concept of what it says. Hashem tzaddik, Hashem is righteous, kitzetz avos rishayim, he has cut the cords of the wicked to the point where the ox cannot plow anymore. They weren't able to plow. Nothing was able to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that everything was stopped. Let them be ashamed and let them turn backward. Kol Sinei Tzion, all those who hate Tzion over here. We know what happened with the Romans. When the Romans wanted to destroy Rabbi Akiva and all of his friends, Kitia Bar Shalom was a Roman officer who worked in the Senate. He was one of the senators. He committed suicide so that the whole edict would be gone. That was one of the things that he did. Unfortunately, it didn't work completely because Rabbi Akiva was eventually killed, but it did work for the time. They were able to get rid of many edicts that way. So all the Sonei Tzion, they should be turned backward. That's what he did. He turned them backward. You kachatir gagayis, let them be like grass upon the rooftop, shekad mashalaf yavesh, that before it springs up, it dries up completely. So it should be like the grass. When grass grows on the rooftops in summer areas, you know, in areas where there's no whatever it is, the grass is gone in seconds. There's nothing to protect it. There's no trees or shade or anything like that. Nobody's watering it. It just grows, and then it withers immediately in the sun, and it's gone completely. So that's what it's like. It's like rooftop grass. That's what he calls it. Unlike the Chicago rooftop, you know, plants and whatever, though, the things that they have up there. But that, they water all the time. There's nothing. Shalom yila kapo kotzer. It doesn't fill up the reaper's hand. You can't even get a whole hand's worth of the grass on top of there. V'chitzno ma'amer. Nor an armful. That's a chotzno. Chitzno over here. Ma'amer for the gatherers that are around there. That's the idea. The wicked should be as if they're in vain. That everything they do immediately should wither right afterward, as if it's completely gone. They shouldn't have to worry about it. Shouldn't have to have anything whatsoever. And Pasuk Ches, V'lo amro oivim birkas Hashem aleichem birachnu atzcham b'shem Hashem. Neither should the passerby say to these reapers, in other words, to the people that are just evil, may you be blessed in the name of a God, and you should be blessed in all these different places. So it's interesting. When Rechinir Bar Papa and Roshimin Bar Nachmeni were once passing by, who was plowing during Shemitah, so Rechinir Bar Papa and Roshimor Bar Nachmeni seemed to say, look at Roshimor Bar Nachmeni said, I forgot what the wording is, Yesher Kochacha or something like that, like everything should go well with you. Right? Rechinir Bar Papa said to him, what are you talking about? You're not supposed to say that in the name of people who are sinning and working during Shemitah itself. Shmuel Nachmani said, yeah, but you misunderstood what he refers to. We're referring to the nations of the world. When it comes to Jews, you always bless them, and that way they'll stop doing because they're going to be embarrassed. And it makes sense, you know, like a rabbi comes up to you while you're working during Shemitah and says to you, hey, you should be blessed. You should be blessed. Like, obviously, reverse the guy's psychology. Like completely embarrassed. Right, exactly. And he's just like, I'm never going to do this ever again. That's what he did over here. And it only applies to the guy that you say such a thing, that you don't say such things. Okay. Now we have Kuf Lamed. If you've never heard this tillum before, you are living under a rock. This is one of the most famous tillums out there. I'm not sure there is a more famous tillum. Shira Malos. Mimamakim Krasi Hashem. I've called out to you from the depths of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Now, there's no question that this is not just a reference to what was happening during the time. It was a reference to all the people that was out there. You never heard this before? Then you've never been for Shachos, which is not so shocking, right? But obviously, The idea is that David Melech is talking about himself as well as the future exiles. We're going to see over the next couple Tehillim, he's going to be referring to things that are going to happen in the future, which are weird, because he's obviously referring to things that are after the Beis HaMikdash is already built. This is one of those things. From the depths, I call it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number one, we learn halakhically that the Shliach Tzibor should be davening from the lowest spot in the shul. You don't have it over here, but if you ever go by where you are, by Rebbe Lepatin's old shul, what do they call it now? Anshe Shalom, whatever it is. Right, it goes down all the way. Now, the main reason why was that the Aron Kodesh would be huge. That was the main reason why they did it. They wanted the Aron Kodesh to be a massive stage, Aron Kodesh. Yeah. That was the whole point, right? That's why they did it. But it halakhically made a lot of sense, because Malkin Kodesh Hashem, you should go down to the lowest point in order to daven. There were people that specifically went to the... We actually learned it from a Gemara in Tainis where, I forgot who it was, somebody from Eretz Yisrael who ended up going to an area where it was a very low area, Bika, a valley, in order to daven, so that no one could see him, and that was the idea. He went out to right over there. That is the halacha. I don't know too many places that have it. I know there are places in Eretz Yisrael that engrave, that like cut out the little area right in front of the Shliach Tzibor's area, and they make that place Tzvila. There. I'm sorry?
I think
Beis Tfila and Divan? Yeah, is that where they have it?
Tzvila.
Different places. I'm sure Kinz has it also, but again, accidental,
right?
Because they didn't make that shul. It wasn't an Orthodox shul. It was originally a conservative, traditional shul, and they ended up going through, right? But if you see like actual shuls in Eretz Yisrael, you'll see it like engraves the little area right by the Shliach Tzibor, and that's that. But what shouldn't be done, which is done in certain places, they put a mat where the Shliach Tzibor stands, so it makes it maybe easier for him to stand. That shouldn't be done, because you have to be lower than the rest of the people, not higher than the rest of the people. It's also a minhag why we don't daven by the bima, and we don't daven up by the Aron Kodesh. You keep it down here because you don't want the person to be up there. If you're reformed, you can do whatever you want, because technically there's not davening.
Or
but
Sfardi.
Sfardi is different. Sfardi is different because they're doing it for everybody in the shul, and they need themselves to be heard. That's a little bit different, as opposed to us, where everybody is davening by themselves and whatever it is. That is a little bit different when it comes to that. Either way, it's awesome. I call you out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I'm physically lowered, I don't have everything that I have. I don't have the money that I need. I don't have whatever it is, right? But that's the concept. Hashem, Shima B'Koli, listen to my voice. Allow your ears to be attentive toward the voice of my supplication. These are obviously going to be many entreaties, but listen to this mashal. Sick man was visited by a physician, by a doctor, and the patient asked him to prescribe fat-rich meals for him. The people asked, thought around him, thought he had lost his mind. He wasn't asking for medication, right? He was asking for something that would be injurious to his health. And eating these fatty foods is going to be bad for somebody who's sick. That's terrible. Said the doctor, just by what he's asking me, I can figure out how severe his illness is. He has no idea what he's saying. The guy has absolutely no idea what he's saying. He doesn't even realize that this is injurious for him. He doesn't even realize that. So the concept is like this. Sometimes we daven for things that are absolutely of no benefit to us whatsoever. Where we say, like, I wish I would win the lottery. Kadosh Baruch Hu, why can't I win the lottery? There is no way that $500 million is going to make your life better. I know it sounds like, oh, why wouldn't it make my life better? There is no way that's going to make your life better.
Oh, you are going to make someone else's life better.
Right, right. Because if I win $500 million, I'm going to give it away. All of it away at Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I'm going to do. I already have it planned out. Give every single money away. I'm going to, maybe I'll keep like $200,000. I'll buy like Cubs season tickets, and that'll be it. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, what would you do that? You know what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't do it. The concept is we've called out to you from the lowest ebb of where we are. Listen to my inner voice. Listen to what my pleas are. That's what I mean. Is davening properly instead of hearing like what I'm saying. Listen to how I'm saying it at Kadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to what I want to say, even if I'm not saying it properly. If you look at my averos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's going to be able to stand? Obviously, Kabbalah Sefilos cannot be dependent on whether or not I do averos or not. I've done way too many averos, but everybody has. How in the world do you expect people to be able to go through? Now it's almost like a blame game. You put me in gullus. What did you expect from me? What do you expect? It's been 2,000 years since we've had any revelation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu with the Beis HaMikdash. You really expect me to be able to do everything you expect me to do? How do you expect that? My emunah is shot. I'm living in a world where nobody believes. What do you want me to do? That's Ke'ilu he's saying. You want to keep my averus? Kadosh Baruch Hu, no one can stand. It's not our world.
But he knows that that's not true. We have the concept of tshuva. Like, God ultimately doesn't
even
hold
so,
everything against us.
100%. No, meaning that's there. But Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you would hold everything against us, if you would say that your sins cause you to die, we'd look up at you and say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, how can that be? You made the world, like I remember my Rebbe telling me once, do you think that the world was made for 99.9% of the people to go to Gehenna? Is that the reason for the world? Does that make any sense to you? That's the purpose of the world, for most people to just completely die and only like one person here and there to be able to get Olam Haba and Gan Eden? That's that? It's not the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have forgiveness, so that you can be feared, so that everything will be there. Think that they'll think that they're going to have it. That's why we have Rosh Hashanah, that's why we have Yom Kippur. I wait with hope. My soul waits at Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I hope in His word. I hope in His word, waiting for everything to happen over here. Again, an analogy, a poor man approached a rich man with a favor. I've come to ask a kindness from you, right? There's no way that I should normally ask. I couldn't ask somebody like you. So it's sort of like that. You're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know I don't deserve to ask the question. I know it's a silly question. It's something not befitting of your stature. You don't go to a king and say, like, hey, can I have bread for today? That's not what you ask. You don't ask the king for something like that. You have to have a better question. You have to have a better... So that's the idea. I'm hoping that something better comes out of it. My soul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, waits for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, waits for Hashem LaBoker every morning. Shomrim LaBoker. More than the watchmen of the morning themselves. I love, if you look at it in English, in like the ye old, what does he say over there? It says, from the watchers in the morning... The watchers in the morning. Does he say? What does he say? You're not going to have it inside there. In the old time, like the red and pink guys over there. For sure he says it. What do you have?
Among those longing for the dawn, those longing for the dawn.
That's all it says. In the old time things, it says, yay. You know that Y-E-A? Oh, you got to love it. Absolutely the best one over here. My soul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is waiting for the morning. Waiting for the morning means waiting for when the basement is going to rebuild, when the Nevi'im come back. That's what I'm waiting for. Yachol Yisrael, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should all, B'nai Yisrael, should hope to Hashem, Ki Yim Hashem HaChesed V'Arbeim Ovdus, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chesed. There's a lot of redemption within Him. We have Da'ezom Mikol Lomonosav, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us of all of our sins, of all of our iniquities. He'll take care of all the different things that we have. That's what He's going to take care of. All right. Kuf Lamed Aleph, I'm sorry. Shir Malzu David Hashem Lo Gava Libi, a song of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or a sense for David. Hashem Lo Gava Libi V'lo Ronoi Nai. I did not act haughtily. I did not lift up my eyes, will have to be those when it flows many. I didn't walk in areas that were greater or wondrous than me. I did not have the haughtiness that people would expect of a person like me. David Melech was a super genius, an absolute super genius. He had become king, right? He had everything in the world that he could possibly want. And nonetheless, he remained humble. How do you become humble when you're a king? Almost impossible over here. But the concept is, even when Shmuel and Navi anointed me to become king, and my brothers ridiculed me and they made fun of me, I didn't say anything whatsoever. When I killed Golias, right, I did not become haughty. That didn't happen over there. When Shaul HaMelech tried to come after me, not one time did I say, I deserve to be king over Shaul HaMelech. I allowed Shaul HaMelech to chase after me. No matter what happened to me whatsoever, I was always willing to see things in a different light. I saw that I wasn't as great as I thought it was. That's the idea behind it. There was one time where David HaMelech was walking around the river of the bank, and he said, is there anyone, David HaMelech said this, is there anyone who thanked and praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu as great as I have? Is there anyone that has? And a frog stood in the little of the pond over there, looked up at David HaMelech and said, yeah, me. I've praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day with every breath that I have. That's how I praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you haven't even done better than a frog. That's what he told David HaMelech. And that's what made David HaMelech get a little bit more humility. Amazing, right?
So what does that mean we are? We're like nothing.
But yeah, we're pieces of garbage. There's no question. We're less than a cockroach. But regardless, it's awesome. As a side note, by the way, what number Tehillim is this? Kuf Lamed Aleph, right? Gematria of Anava. Oh. Now you know it's true. Im lo shivisi v'domamti lashi. If I have set myself and silenced my soul, kigomo aleimo, like a weaned child from its mother, kigomo aleinafshi. My soul is like a weaned child. I'm sitting there with everything that I need when it comes in stuff like this. I never once went further than what I needed to get. The idea is like this. If you give a baby something that it's not ready to eat yet, what's going to happen? It's going to choke on it, spit it out. Even if it takes it into its stomach, it's going to hurt its stomach. A baby cannot eat stuff that it's not ready to eat just yet. It's not ready for that type of time. Same thing. David Melch said, I went slowly. Yes, I wanted to learn Kabbalah when I was 10 years old because I was a super genius and I thought I was ready. I wasn't ready, so I didn't do it. And I waited. And I waited until I got older, and I waited until I got a little bit older, and then I waited until a little bit older. And eventually, I learned it in the proper fashion. I did everything the way it was supposed to be. I had the proper handling, the proper feeding. I had the proper abeim to be able to help me along the way. And each time, I learned from everybody and did more and more and more when it comes to that. What happens when an infant is weaned from his mother? What happens when he's weaned and he doesn't get that stuff? Usually the baby cries. I mean, Baruch Hashem, we have great formula nowadays that kind of changes everything, so it's a little bit different. But he cries, and eventually, right, she attends whatever she can do, but she's not going to give up. She's not going to go back to nourishment. And that happened with David Melech as well. He felt like he was weaned off of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if there were times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give him nevuah and then weaned him off of it, so to speak, where he had saras for 6 months, where he was being punished for what he had done with counting the people, etc. That's the idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that he needed it, and so too David HaMelech realized how he was being taken care of like a little baby. Yachol Yisrael Hashem Me'atav Yad Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'nei Yisrael should hope to Hashem Me'atav Yad Olam. Obviously, it's the exact same words that we said at the end of the last one. Yachol Yisrael Hashem Ki Hashem Yachol Yisrael Hashem Yukim Hashem Achazar Abei Mofidus. The same idea over here. Me'atav Yad Olam. Everything over here. As a side note, Yachel is the Rosh Yetevis of Yismamea Chakelo. If Mashiach delays, wait for him. And that's the idea. Yachol Yisrael Hashem. That's our hope. That even if he delays, we're still going to hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Mashiach whenever he can. All right, Kuf Lamed Beis. Meaning, if he doesn't come at the time that we think he's coming. Right? There have been many, many Rishonim.
That's us not
knowing. No, that's true. But if for us, it feels like a delay. It feels like it should already have been here. Right? 2016 was the Mayan calendar end, right? So I can't understand why we're still going on. Oh, 2012. Oh, I don't know. What was 2016?
Is that when they said the world is going to end?
There was something else. No, there was something in 2016. Maybe it was some, I don't know, whatever. It didn't happen. No, it was good stuff. What do you mean? The Mayans, the Aztecs, whatever they have? It's good stuff. Yeah, it is. It is. Anyway, but it wasn't true. We didn't get destroyed. So it doesn't matter. Shemal Zechor Hashem LeDavid is cool. No, so Hashem, remember for David all of his affliction over here. Okay, this is the idea. He wrote this when he bought the land from Arvana Hayavusi and set it up to be the future home of the Beis HaMikdash. He was already told that he wasn't going to build the Beis HaMikdash because he had done so many whatever it is, right? But he had made it up at that point, and he said, remember all the afflictions that I went through. What he's saying is like this. You know how many nights I spent up trying to figure out where the Beis HaMikdash should go? You know how many times I've argued with all the Talmidei Chachamim, trying to argue with them about where this area should be? There were lots of different opinions. Shlomo HaMelech felt it should be in Giva. He felt it had to be in the Chelek of Binyamin. David HaMelech felt it had to be in Shevet Yehuda. And he felt it had to be there. Shmuel HaNavi was even questionable. He wasn't sure. There were so many areas, Ramah, Giva. He had absolutely no idea where it should be. He had these sfeikos about maybe we should put it here, maybe we should put it there. They had these sfeikos. Eventually, David HaMelech convinced him that it should be in Yehuda. But even when it was in Yehuda, they had to wonder, which mountain was it going to be on? Should it be on Har Moriah? Har Moriah is not the highest mountain around there. It's not even the highest mountain in that area. Where should it be? Where should this be? Eventually, David HaMelech chose Arvani Yavusi. He said, do you realize how much inui I went through trying to figure out this shot? How many times I argued, how many times I went through, etc., and all these different types of things. Aside from that, how much money I amassed to be able to build up the Beis HaMikdash. I took all of the money that I could get, and I put it away toward the Beis HaMikdash. I didn't even use anything for myself. Pasuk Beis HaShenishpa L'Hashem Nader L'Avir Yaakov. How I swore to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I promised to the Mighty One of Yaakov over here what I was going to be, Avol Ba'ol Beisi, that I will not even make my tent. David Melech always had a temporary home. Im Elal Eres Yitzuoi, that I wouldn't even sleep on a bed. That's what David HaMelech said. Imatin Shnas La'inai, I did not allow sleep to come upon my eyes, Lapapai Tnuma, slumber upon my eyelids. In other words, all he would do is he'd forget about his afternoon nap. He'd have one little sleep, and we all know what happened with David HaMelech, who's up all night, right? Learning Tehillim, speaking out Tehillim, learning, etc. That's the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Gimel and Beis, Daf Dalai Melef. He said, I wouldn't sleep. Why wasn't I sleeping? Now we're asking, that was it just because he wanted to learn Torah all day? It's not like David HaMelech didn't have stuff to do during the day. And the answer is, because all I wanted was to figure out where the Beis HaMikdash was going to be. And I said, I will not do anything until the Beis HaMikdash is built. And then he was told, you can't build the Beis HaMikdash. Baruch Hu, seriously? That's what you're telling me? After all I've done, after all I've suffered, you're telling me that I'm not going to be able to do it? It's amazing. Some say that, of course, he slept. It's impossible to be able to go without sleep, right? But it means he would never go to sleep willingly. He would wait for sleep to overtake him. Like you're supposed to do Seder night, you know, by Pesach, right? What do? You stay at the table until you're overcome sleep by sleep. Out. And once you're like already like not, when you're head bobbing, right? When you're head bobbing for apples at the table, that's when you go upstairs and you go to sleep. That's what happened to David HaMelech. He would not go anywhere until he had finished his head bobbing. That's not going to happen up until that point. At Emsa Makom L'Hashem Mishkanos L'Avir Yaakov, until I found a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a dwelling place for the strong one of Jacob. Hinesh Manu Abaf Rasa. I heard that people wanted to make it an Ephrat. That's what I heard. Mitzanua b'steyar. We found it in a forested field. Some people say that it's Efrat. Now, Efrat is a bit of a kasha, what exactly kind of a city it is. We know that Efrat is the closest city to Beis Lechem. Beis Lechem was the area where Kever Rachel was. So Efrat was around that area. Nowadays, I don't remember what the proximity between Beis Lechem and Efrat is. I think it's like a 15-minute drive, something like that. Whatever it is, but it's hard because Efrat had to move a little bit because of the Shomron or whatever, but it went around over there. Efrat was known as that area because it was plentiful in its fruit. There was lots of fruit and stuff like that. They thought that that was going to be a proper place, but it wasn't. That was not the right place. Navol Mishkanosav. We will go down to his dwelling place in Ishtach V'Lodom Raglav. We're going to prostrate ourselves at the footstool of God where HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of like swings his feet toward the bottom. Right, that's where we wanted to go. Kum Hashem Limnu Chasecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, get up and go to your resting place. Not only you, but also the Arum of your strength should go there. Wezal Kohanecha Yobshu Sedek. Your Kohanim should don righteousness of Chasidecha Yoreinu, and they should sing out your Chesed. We obviously say that in Simchas Torah by Atar Rizal Adas. That's one of the lines. Babur David Yavdecha Al Tashay Pinim Mishrecha. For David, your servant, do not turn us away. Do not turn away the face of your anointed one. Referring to himself, don't let me be turned away. Now this, because he knew that he wasn't going to be able to do it, he's really saying, don't let Shlomo Melech be turned away. Don't let Shlomo Melech be taken away from building it. Nishba Shem to David, HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore to David, Emes, Lo Yashem Bana, do not turn back from him. He said, from your own children, I will make a throne for you. That Shlomo Melech is going to be building up the base of Mikdash. You promised me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't go back on it. Im Yishmu B'necha Barisi, as long as your children keep my bris, Ve'idosi, and my laws, Zo Alam Dein, I will teach them. Gabanim Adiad, even their children forever and ever, Yeshua Chiselach, they will sit upon your throne for you. Unfortunately, because Rechavam started sinning, that's when the Malchus was lost, only two generations later. Kivar Hashem Betiv, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen Zion, Evil Moshe Avlo, he has desired to put his resting place there. Zosum Nuchasi Adiad, Poeshev Kivisiyah, this is my resting place forever and ever. Here is where I will sit, because that is what I desire. Even its destruction, I will never leave ever again. A shave is the line of Emuna, Simcha, Bitachon, right? The three big words that refer to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels in this place. Say to Barech Avreich, I will bless her provisions. Avyoneh Aspi Alechem, all the poor people I will make sure will be fed bread. And that's the idea, the provisions. David HaMelech is promising, in that area where I make the base of Mikdash, I'm going to make sure that anybody who's poor who needs something, I will take care of it. I'll make sure that that person gets everything that he needs over there. Choneh Abish Yasha, all of the priests, all of the Kohanim, I will make sure that they're donning salvation clothing. Chasidei Reinu Reinu. And all of the Chasidim will sing with a great song so that they won't be punished for anything. Shomat Tzmiah Keren LeDavid. I will cause a horn, pride, to come out for David HaMelech. Arachti Ner LeMashichi. I made a lamp for my anointed one. For my anointed one over here, there's going to be a Keren of oil in which the kingship, the Malchus, is going to continue through what David HaMelech is talking about over here. Right, there's an interesting little mush over here, but it's not the greatest thing over here. But regardless, that's that. Fine. The next thing. Oivov albish boshes. Oh, there's an interesting one. Limshichi is the Rosh Tevis Mila Shabbos Yomtiv Chanukah. That's Mishichi. That's referring to. And the Yud at the end refers to kingship. The Malchus sits there. Oivov albish boshes. The enemies I will clothe with shame. Va'olov yatzitz nizro. But upon the crown of Mashiach, upon the crown of the king, that I will allow his crown to shine. It will sparkle bright in the sun and everything that's there. All right. Kuf Lamed Gimel. Shir HaMelech David. We're on the last two of the Shir HaMelech. You know what's awesome? When brothers get together, when brothers are hanging out with one another, right? Whether it's referring to the Kohanim and the Levim, or the different Neshamos that work with one another, or Mamish people that are working together. It's always good when you have the young and the old working together to make sure that everything is done in the proper way. When you have Shevet Achim Gam Yochad, when you have Achdus together, things work out better. David Melech is referring to when him and Shaul HaMelech worked together, everything was good for Klal Yisrael. When they didn't work together, that's when the Plishim started taking over. When Shmuel and Avi and David HaMelech got together, they were able to learn together. When David HaMelech with any of his Rebbeim got together, things were awesome. Kashemina Tova LaRosh, like precious oil upon the head, Yorid Al Zakan Zakan Aron, that goes down upon the beard of Aaron, Shiorid Al Pimidosov. It goes down to reach to his garments, to his actual clothing. What happened was the following. When Aaron was anointed with the Shemina Mishka, he made a little, well, there's a question how to do it exactly, but you take the Shemina Mishka and you make an X on the forehead of the person right there, and the oil then drips down. Now, the oil that went in Aaron's head dripped down, that Shemina Mishka dripped down into his beard. Crazy part, two drops of oil were always in Aaron's beard. Always. They never went away. They never went away. So he was worried about it because he thought maybe it was Moel. He had been over on Me'ilah and used the Shemen of Ishkan in an improper fashion. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no.
Like what?
It looks good. Well, maybe that's the reason why it was staying on his beard and not going away, because it was like, you misused me, so to speak. Me'ila is using Hektish for no good reason.
Like, what was he doing?
Maybe he thought, maybe he'd done it, maybe he used it out of kavod. Maybe he showed somebody, he was like, check it out, I got the X. You know, maybe he did something like that. But he said, that's not what happened over there. Unfortunately, that's that. That is the idea of the oil that trickled down into his beard itself, and that refers to right over here. The garments that we're referring to here, Shayorot al Pimidosov, really is a reference to the Torah that Aaron HaKohen learned. That all the Torah that he had was something that's considered like his midos, his levush. They ended up having over here all the great things over there. Okay, that is that. What else? Oh, it's a really cool thing, by the way. When he cut his hair, the two drops would ascend and settle in the thick of his beard, right? When he was cutting them. I don't know if that meant that he cut his beard in the bottom. Anyway, Kital Hermon Sheret al Haret Zion, like the dew of the Hermon, right? The Hermon obviously is that mountain all the way up north where people go skiing. Sheret al Haret Zion that comes down upon the mountains of Zion. Kishom Tziva Hashem is a bracha chayim al olam. That's where our Kodesh Baruch Hu commands his bracha forever and ever. That's the idea. The idea is there should be no strife. There should be no fights, no arguments. Everybody should get together and everything should be all good. No.
That was the in Hallel.
Hallelujah, Hashem Kol Gaim Shabbat Kol Gaim Givar Hashem Leolam Hallelujah. Two psukim. This one also, I think, is three, right? Yeah. Kuf Lamid Dalid is also three. Shemal Zini Borcho Hashem Kol Adi Hashem. They should bless Hakadosh Baruch Hu, all the servants of Hashem, Om Divis Hashem Balelos, that sit in Hakadosh Baruch Hu's house all night long. These are Tomina Chamim that are sitting and learning all night long. They should be benched. They should be gebenched that they're sitting there and learning all night long in their posts. That's the idea. This also refers to, not night, but gullus. The people that are willing to learn Torah during gullus. Oh, and if you're learning at night, in gullus, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Lift your hands up to the Kodesh and bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bless the Lord. This is the idea of Birchas Kohanim, how they're supposed to go up and they're supposed to do everything, etc. Some learn from over here, that whenever you have a cup, a kos, you have to hold it up. Off the table by at least one tefach. It has to be off from the table. You should never hold a cup like that when you're benching alakos. You got to have one tefach up from the ground itself like that at least to be able to hold it. What?
That's Kiddush also.
Correct. The proper way to be able to do it, David, if you put out your hand for a second, right? You take the cup of wine and you put it into the one hand of the person who's saying it, and then you put your four fingers around it like that and the thumb above all. If you do it that way, then the bracha comes down. Some say you should put the thumb like that below, but you can put your thumb up and you put it like that. But you shouldn't even put it in. It shouldn't go from one hand to whatever. It should be two hands into yours. So somebody else has to put it inside your hand. You put it inside there and you go that. I learned that from Rabina. Of course I did, right?
What if you're married by yourself?
What do you mean if you're by yourself?
She can give you a kos.
Use your elbows. Throw it up in the air, catch it, and then you're perfectly fine. Obviously, you can't do it, right? Yeah, all right. Yivarech HaShem Yitzion Oseh Shemayim Va'aretz. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bench you out of Zion, the one who made the heaven and the earth. So just like you bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem should bench you. Hashem should bench you back. And that's the idea behind it of what's supposed to be over here, that you should have that. Yivarech HaShem Yitzion, Sofei Teves are Kohen, because in the end, the Birchas Kohenim that they give is the ability for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bless us right back. By them giving us the brachos, they get right back itself. That's the idea behind of what happens over here, using the Shem of Purush and allowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be a bracha for the rest of the people. Okay, awesome. That is the end of the Shir HaMaloses. Now we're on the two Tehillims that everybody knows really well, because we say it on Shabbos and Pesukei Dezimra, and there is no one that I know that ever skips Shabbos, Pesukei Dezimra. Never. I've never even heard of it. This is an awesome tefillah. Haluya alu Shem Hashem alu avdei Hashem. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Hashem. Praise all the servants of Hashem. In other words, just like you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, you should also be happy about all the servants, meaning the Kohanim and Levim. You should praise them as well. Every time you give a bracha to someone, it should include a bracha for the Kohanim and Levim at all times, and that's the idea behind it over here. So too, Yah, right, Hallelujah, is that God should praise. It could be that it's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name itself, but the idea is that everything over here is a praise of God, that it's all a chesed of Hashem. We don't deserve it all. They who stand in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the chutzur of the base of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the idea behind it? The chutzur itself? Well, that's like Olam Haza leading into the prozdor. The prozdor leads into the traklin. The traklin is Olam Haba. This is just the hallway that leads into Olam Haba. Hallelujah. Ki tov Hashem zamanu lishmo kinoim. Hallelujah. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good. Sing to his name. because it is pleasant to do so. And that's the idea behind it. He takes care of all of our needs. Yaakov Achaloya, because Yaakov is the one that Hashem chose for himself. Yisrael Luskulaso. Yisrael becomes his absolute treasure. Here we go. A monarch, a king, owned a field that he gave to tenant farmers for tending. He gave it to them over there. When they began to steal, took it away from them, and he gave it to their children. The children, of course, turned out to be worse than the parents. Worse than the parents. Then a son was born to the king, and the king said to them, get away. You can't live in my land, right? Forget it. I'm going to give my portion to my child instead. That's the idea of what happened with Avraham Avinu. Took it away from Eretz Canaan and gave it over to his kid, right? Who's his kid? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc. And that's the idea over here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that this should be for himself rather than to give it to any other nation. I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great. Our master is above any other God. Whatever God desires, he does. In the heavens and the land, in the seas and all of the tomos. Not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired that we have the same ideas. We have Bechira. And because we have Bechira, we have the ability to make choices that are totally against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want for us. And that's truly Hashem's pleasure, so to speak. Giving us the ability to make a good decision, or you know what? A bad decision. Even bad decisions are decisions. There's something that happens from there. Mila Nisim Ikseharetz. He raises up the clouds from the ends of the earth. Barakim Lamatarasa. He makes lightning by the rain. Motzi Ruach Meotzerosa. He brings forth the wind from all of his treasuries, from all the areas that he needs to go through over here. Some say that the wonders of rain are some of the ideas that we can prove that there is a God out there. There is no way to fully understand when it's going to rain or what's going to happen. Even when we have meteorologists that are really, really good at what they do, we all know sometimes rain comes out of nowhere and sometimes rain clouds dissipate like nothing. They're amazing at guessing, right? And they have tremendous chachma of putting it all through. But you have no idea. You have absolutely no idea what's going to happen over here, right? And that's that. So far, it's mamash been every single year. I've done the Lake Geneva trip for 7 years in Skokie Yeshiva. Every single trip, it said that it's going to pour that day. So far, 6 years, it did not pour. 1 year, it did. But 7 years straight, it said it was going to pour that day. And every time, I tried davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it didn't happen. Last year, it did not pour.
Did it say it was?
Yeah, it was going to pour. Yeah, it was supposed to be wet, rainy the whole day. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It was unbelievable. That's the idea. And not only that, but it's an unbelievable geula. It's like once it rains, then everything gets whatever they need. We have drinking water. We have plants that are moved. Everything. It's stuff like that. Not only that, it's amazing how the clouds move. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has wind sending them in different places at different times. Whenever something needs to happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an ability to send clouds right there to be able to go through. Levi, because he didn't fully understand this, or some other things, whatever, he was upset about the rain itself, argued with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, "Where are you, God?" And for that, he became lame. That's what happened to Levi. Levi was a tremendous Amora, first generation Amora. He became lame for it. Now we're going through all the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. He killed the firstborn of the Egyptians, man and beast. Whatever it was for every single person that was in Mitzrayim, as well as all the animals. There's only one man that did not die. Who was the man? Paro. Some say Bisya, the daughter of Paro, was included in that as well. Some say the animals. Also, only some of the Bechoras died, but not all of them, because they needed animals to chase after them at Kriyas Yom Suf. Either way, regardless, that's that. Shalach Hosef Mosin B'Selchein Mitzrayim. He sent signs and wonders within your midst, Mitzrayim, the Far B'Chol Ovedav, against Paro and all of his servants. Obviously, that's a reference to all of the Makos and Kriyas Yom Suf itself. Shikgo Yimra V'Harog Malach HaMatsumim. He smote many people and destroyed many strong kings. Right? And all the kingdoms of Canaan, he destroyed all of them. He gave their lands as an inheritance. Inheritance to Yisrael, his people. So we all took that people. We all took that itself. Hashem, your name lasts forever. Your remembrance is forever and ever. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu judges his people. And he relents concerning the punishments that his children are supposed to get. The idols of the Goyim are silver and gold. They are made by people themselves. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes that they do not see. This is referring to the banality of idols. You know, how they literally have nothing to them. Look at what they are. They're mamish like nothing. Even beasts can roar. or whatever it is, but these idols can do absolutely nothing. They have ears, but they don't hear. They don't even have any breath in their mouths. Like them should be the ones that make them. Anybody that trusts in these idols should die and become like them, where there's no movement whatsoever. All of Bnei Yisrael should bless Hashem. All of the Bnei Aaron should bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beis Levi Baruch Hu Hashem. Yirei Hashem Baruch Hu Hashem. Not only that, those who fear God should bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hashem v'tzion v'shechein Yerushalayim. Hallelujah. Baruch Hashem, from Tzion, the one who dwells in Yerushalayim. Hallelujah. One of the very few Mizmori Tehillim where you start and end with the word Hallelujah, which showed that David HaMelech loved that Tehillim itself. What's up?
So what is that like? Of course, idols, they don't move or speak or whatever. So like we were talking about by Sinai, they went back to their people and they
spat at them.
Yeah. So
I'm not saying there are times where they show some type of whatever it is, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to go against their, you know, their own worshippers. Like for example, when the Aron Kodesh was brought by the Plishtim into the idol worship house of Dagon. Dagon fell on his face and had his arms cut off, right? That's Ki'ilu, like, look what Dagon did to himself. You know, that's the way that you could look at it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it to show that they're worth absolutely nothing. Yeah, so even though fools will be fooled, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's like, I don't care about the fools. I want the people to realize what that is.
It's pretty convincing when like an idol comes up to you and starts talking to you and then spits in your face.
For worshipping it.
Yeah.
How could you worship me? There's a God out there. I would say that's for sure.
That could like totally confuse someone.
But like, he's telling you not to be confused by it. He's telling you that the idol is sitting there and saying, do not worship me. I am nothing. There is a God in this world. Right? That's pretty awesome. So what are you going to do? Like, but I think you're awesomer. You're awesomer. That's ridiculous.
He is talking to
him. Fine. So like, if this like water bottle went ahead and spoke to me, it's just like, stop playing with me. Too. Like, that's going to be different?
I would faint.
You would faint?
I would faint.
No, you wouldn't.
I would faint. Boom.
You'd be shocked. I do agree with that, but you wouldn't faint.
I don't know.
You'd be like, awesome. I've talked to enough bottles. I think it's okay. I think you'll be okay over here. I'm sorry?
Three.
I don't like talking about it. This is an awesome one. 136 Kuf Lamed Vav. This is a tilim that's called Halal HaGadol. The reason why it's called Halal HaGadol is because it contains two things that are major over here. Number one, it goes through all the times that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki lalom chasid, because his chasid is very, very great. But another thing that it mentions the parnasa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are 26 psukim in this tilim for 26 praises that we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All 26 of them end with Ki lalom chasid, that his chasid is there. The reason why the word 26 is because they correspond to the 26 generations that went from the beginning of Adam Rishon all the way to the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu was born from Amram. Amram was born from Kehas. Kehas was born from Levi. Levi from Yaakov, Yitzchak, Avram. Avram was the 20th generation. 10 generations earlier was Noach. 10 generations earlier was Adam Rishon. An amazing thing over here. So this is what we're saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to thank you because everything you've done is absolutely amazing. There are seven words over here. Seven words refer to the seven creatures that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the first days. Man, beast, cattle, birds, fish, crawling things, and swarming creatures. Whatever it is, that's that. You know what the greatest chesed in the world is? One of the most greatest chesed that you're never going to think of ever?
Air.
Saliva glands inside your mouth. Your mouth will never dry out, because you always have saliva glands at work. You create your own liquid. One of the greatest things that a person could be able to do, you don't even think about. Think about that. You know how dry your mouth gets? Right? If you would keep it open, like that. Keep your mouth closed, you're fine. You don't need anything. You could go, not, you know, very long, a good day or two, because you have your own saliva to deal with. Amazing. Give thanks to the God of all gods who accepts korbanos, who wants our korbanos. To the Lord of the Lords. Some say the Lords over here that we're referring to are the celestial bodies, like the stars in the sky and the constellations of heaven, that God is in charge of all of those. Others say it's referring to Midas Adin. Others say it's referring to human monarchs on earth, that he is the king of all kings. He performs by himself the most great and unbelievable wonders, right? More than anything else. For example,
why can't it mean idols?
Which one?
La Adonai HaAdonim. Especially if they talk.
They don't have any mastery. That's why it can't be idols. They don't have any mastery.
To the people who believe in them.
Even so, they don't have mastery for them either. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu giving them something, but it's not the mastery of the idols themselves. As opposed to the constellations and the stars, which there is some koach that Kadosh Baruch Hu allows them to have. That's how Shefa comes down into the world, through the stars and the constellations. So that has an actual koach. There is something there. In fact, what do we call the stars and the moon? Kochos. Powers. There is some type of power that they give down the world in some way. Now this... Niflos Gidol Zavado could be referring to nature, the natural miracles that are out there in the world, the things that we look at but are really, really just natural. The fact that sap goes up in a tree and allows leaves to grow, whatever it is, right? That trees, you know, wither in the winter or whatever, all those different types of things. But it also could be the following. David, you know that there was a snake in your bed tonight? But you'll never know because the Kadosh Baruch Hu got rid of the snake before you ever got home.
You're not going to sleep tonight.
No, he got rid of it.
I'll sleep tonight.
What's the problem? But those are the types of things. You're delayed by 1 second. That 1 second helped you not get into a car accident. That's a niflos levada. Unbelievable niflos. But you didn't think about it.
What kind of snake?
What?
What kind of snake?
A bedroom cobra. Snake.
The king cobra? Or just a cobra?
Brown one. I haven't seen the vision clearly. It's that spaklaria she'ena me'ira. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's something. I just can't really see it so much. Probably a cobra, though. What do you want, a rattlesnake? Rattlesnakes are cool. Black mamba? Be a black mamba. Maybe a...
That won't fit in my bed.
Black mambas? Yeah. They're only like 12 feet. They can roll up. You'll be okay. An emerald tree snake that, like, hangs up above and, like, bites. He makes the heavens with understanding. Everything with precision. Unbelievable precision. I read today. Do you see the article today? There's a super Earth that was found.
What?
They finally found a planet that's called a super Earth. They think it's like 5 times or 10 times bigger than our Earth, and it's just in the same direction from some star in some solar system somewhere. Don't worry. There's probably no life there. Probably not. But if there is, awesome. I mean, that's where all the malachim hang out during the day. It's good times. The Rokar Almighty Elohaso. He stretches out the earth over the waters. He allows the water, which is naturally light, to be able to go over the land and not submerge. The craziest thing is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow the water to overrun the dry land. That he stretches out where the deep waters can rise, but it'll never go any further than that. That's the unbelievable thing over here. But there's always a fear of flood. That's the idea. Yes, this is where we get our bracha from. Bracha to Hashem Lekin Ochalam, Rokar Aretz Alamayim. It comes from right over here. That's where we get it from. Lo sa ring gedolim. He made the great lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars. The sun was made to rule over the day. The moon and the stars were made to rule at night. They have functions. Each one has functions. The moon has illumination at night. That's what it's there for. Also, by the way, to make Rosh Chodesh, etc. The stars is a guide for seafarers so that people who are lost will be able to find their way back. Because we all know, look for the North Star. Why don't you do that in Chicago? Because there are no stars in Chicago.
For the lake in Chicago.
We can look for the lake, right. Just go for the Lake of Michigan, wherever it is, right? But it's a guide for seafarers to be able to find out. There's an unbelievable chesed that a Kadosh Baruch Hu did for the Lachim, it's Bechoreim, for the one that destroyed the Mitzrayim as they were Bechoros, Kilo and Chasoy. That was through Makas Bechoros. Not only that, by the way, Lamake Mitzrayim Bechoreim is another drasha. This is the famous drasha, it's a medrash. When the Bechoros heard that they were going to be killed, and that Moshe Rabbeinu had said that tomorrow all the Bechoros are going to die, they went up to Paro, and they're like, let them go. And what did Paro say? Take it like a man. You can do this. You'll be fine. Okay? Do it for the country. Dun, 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 dun. That's what he told them. What did the Bechoros say? No. So they started a civil war, and they fought against their own parents. And many, many people died. 600,000 Egyptians died in that mini war in one day, right, before Bechoros. And that's the reason why, if you look through, Ditzach Adash Be'achav. So it's Bechoros, not Makas Bechoros. Why do we call Makas Bechoros? Because Makas Bechoros consisted of two Makas. There was the Maka of the Bechoros to their fathers, and then the fact that the Bechoros died that very night. Those two were a double Maka. What?
They could have wasted their energy on kicking us out. Instead, they fought with each other.
Yeah, I would fight. Why not? But that's the machlokas Rebbe Yehuda and the Chachamim. When the Chachamim say, Dam Tzarei Akinim Arov Dever, Shechim Barot Arbe Choshech Makas Bechoros, and the Rebbe Yehuda says, Ditzach Adash Biachav, that's the machlokas between them. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it was only Bechoros. There was no Makas Bechoros. Rabbanan hold that matters to say there was Makas Bechoros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out from the midst. Not just he took them out from the midst. He took them out of the 50th level of Tumah. That's what he took them out from. He took them out from the 50th level of Tumah to allow them to be able to survive out of Mitzrayim before they would be sunk into their Tumah. Biachas look at his into a Kilonchasa with an outstretched arm and a very strong hand. That refers to Dever and Makas Bechoros, the two major plagues that refer to over here. We talk about that on Pesach night. We use those two words, Lagozian Zon Kilonchasa. He split the sea into pieces. You know what we learn from over here? That the Yamsuf had 12 different splits. Because he split it into pieces, right? They were able to see each other, but they were gzarim. There were pieces that went from one place to the other over here. Bavi Yisrael b'socha, and then he passed Bnei Yisrael through it, kilo chasid, right? That's what ended up happening. Not only that, they had chasid. When they went through the sea, they found things in the bottom of the sea, like pearls and coral, and they took all of that, and those treasures remained for them as well when they left the sea itself. What?
Wasn't it like tiled for them?
But if you saw something you liked, you just reach down and grab it. There are probably some people that grabbed some clownfish also, started like a little saltwater tank. It's probably an awesome one. Near Paro v'chelo b'yamsuf kilonchasa, I would have had a great time. Near Paro v'chelo b'yamsuf, and then he shook Paro and his armies into the yamsuf kilonchasa, and that lasts forever. They weren't able to go back. They had no strength to turn back. And then he brought his people through the desert. Kilonchasa, because that is the pure chasid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, the nisim that happens for us in the Midbar. Do we need to go through it? The mun, the slav, the mayim of the May Miriam, right? The anani akavo, the fact that it knocked down all the mountains in front of them, the fact that it got rid of all the snakes and all the dangerous things in front of them, all of that is a reference to what happened over here. Not only that, it was also a chesed, because as soon as the Canaanim heard that the Jews were coming, what do? They burned down all their trees and knocked down all of their orchards and stuff like that. Then they waited in the Midbar for 40 years. By that time, the Canaanim built everything up, so when the Bnei Yisrael finally came, they found a land filled with everything.
That's
that was nice. Yeah. From here.
Never heard
that. Yeah, it's a good one. Lamakim alachim gedolim kilonchasa. He knocked down the great kings. Forever is his chesed. Vayarg malachim adirim, very, very strong kings. Now, who this refers to is probably the five kings of Midian. We don't know. Maybe it's a reference to Amalek, but that's it. I mean, it's referring to the very, very strong kings that they fought against, and it's like this as well. There is a good medrash, by the way. Before killing the malachim gedolim, malachim adirim, the strong malachim down here on earth, he killed the malachim in Shemayim. The malachim were destroyed first, and then the kings were destroyed. There was Sichon that was destroyed, and then Og was destroyed. Anybody know why he was named Sichon? He was known as Sichon, says the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, because he was like a donkey in the desert. That's how unchashav he was. He's known as Sichon for that way. His real name, we don't know. Ayor is one opinion, right? Possibly it's a reference to Canaan. But there's one of those three names. Og, you know why Og was called Og? Because he loved the cake of Sarimenu, the ugios that Sarimenu would give him. Since he loved them so much, he would go ahead and eat them. What?
Wasn't Og like Paro, like a title?
There is a Riddal of David Luria on the Pirkei Rebbe Eliezer and Perek Lamed Aleph that says that Og is a title that's used by every king of Bashan. That is true. But it seems there was a giant called
Isn't
Og.
Isn't that out of order?
Like, no, Sichon was first.
No, but like, Og came after.
After what?
Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Yeah, no. We went through Yetzias Mitzrayim already. Then they killed
the kings
of Midian.
Og was by Noah.
And then Sichon and Og.
It's the same Og that held onto the Teva.
Machlokas. It might be. Og could be Eliezer ben Avram. There's lots of questions about Og. Og is a very, very big Shiloh. Menasen Aratz Lenachli allowed that land to become their inheritance, Kilon Chasta. Nachla Yisrael Avdo, it became a Nachla for Yisrael's servant, Kilon Chasta. Again, that's what we said up in the last parak as well, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it as a gift for all of his people. When it was given over to all the different people there, Shabbat Shiflin, Zachar Lanu, Kilon Chasta, he remembered us when we were lowly. For his chesed, it applies forever. Sort of like a drunken guy, you know, a guy who's completely drunk, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered us in our drunken state, even though we didn't deserve it. Pasukov Dalavi, for Kinim Yitzrenu, Kilon Chasta, he saved us from all of our enemies, because forever is his chesed. Our enemies refer to Nebuchadnezzar, Like when Hanani Mishal Azariah ended up being freed, no sin lechem lechovosor. He gave bread to all flesh. In other words, everybody got everything they needed. This is the pasuk that we referred to before, where parnasa. Chazal learned from over here that parnasa, giving a person parnasa, is equal to kriyas yamsuf. It is not easy. So although you think like, oh man, it's so easy to get a job, or I'll find a job in one place or the other, it's not true. It's not easy to find a job, right, and to get something, and therefore it's like kriyas yamsuf.
For who?
Like kriyas yamsuf for most people.
No, like it's for the person or for like I don't know.
Not for God to do. Meaning, but for every person to get a job, right?
It's like their own kriyas.
Sort of like that, their own little kriyas yamsuf. And not only that, it's even more direct. The Jews were saved, the Egyptians were drowned, right? Anytime that you get a parnasa, it takes away the parnasa from someone else. Someone else is not getting the money that they would have given to something else. Even if you start a brand new thing, let's say you start a website that nobody ever thought of before, that's not taken away from anybody. Well, it is. Because once people go on your website, they're going to order from you instead of going somewhere else. So every new business that comes out takes away from something that was there previously. So everything is like that. So that's kriyas yamsuf. The mitzrayim die and you survive. Everything. Yeah, there's no such. I mean, the money would have been spent otherwise. You know, like, I would have gone to Dick's Sporting Goods and I would have gotten a pair of shoes there. Instead, this website, right, is really awesome for me, so I decided to go get, I don't know, a hat instead. Right? A brand new black hat. Because, you know, the Forrester new black hat company put up a white website. That's it. Every time something comes out.
That's a good thing.
Solid, yeah. But I'm just saying, that's what ends up happening. So therefore, because of that, you'll never know when it's going to be a problem. Thank the God in heavens because his chesed is forever. That can refer to the rain itself. And that's the idea. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though technically, what can we do for him? What can we possibly add on to what he has over here? That's the idea behind it. And we'll stop with that. I think we could do Al Naros Bavol. I just don't know if that's smart.
No, I don't want to rush.
Start right over here. We'll stop.